Philippians 4, this is apostolic advice. Okay, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Eudio and I urge Syntek to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even at Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have in abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. And all saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So this concludes the book of Philippians, and he starts off and he's dealing firstly with a matter that's happening at the church, which really is a very, very common situation than you would think. He's dealing with two ladies. I actually really have a very difficult time saying their name. But these two ladies are, for some reason, squabbling with one another. These two ladies are very mature. They are, the word there that says that they shared in my struggle along with Clement, one of my professors translate that as saying that they did spiritual warfare on my behalf. And so most likely these two ladies were intercessors. And so they hear from God, they receive messages from God, and they spend a bulk of their time praying. And this is not meant to be a overall statement, you know, but let's just be honest and real for a moment, okay? Sometimes people that pray a lot are a little weird. I'll just throw that out there, okay? There seems to be, you're supposed to pray, okay? But sometimes what happens is when you just pray all the time and you're not really grounded, it's very easy for you to lose perspective. We used to have this phrase in school, we used to say, they're no earthly good. In other words, they're always in the spirit, you know, they're always like conversing with God, that like you can't talk to them as a person. They're just, I remember one time I was in class. I forget which class I was. I think I was taking Dr. Kraft's class. And I was also the campus pastor at the university, so I was finishing up my time at Fuller. And so I was inviting people to chapel, and there was this one lady, and she was actually a Korean-American woman, very gifted. And so I asked her, I says, hey, would you like to come and speak at, you know, my school? Or actually at this time, I think it was actually our youth group. You know, would you like to come and speak at our Friday night meeting? And she literally, this is exactly what she did. She stood there and she kind of did this. And she says, God said, no, I'm not going to come. You know, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool. You know, praise God. Whatever that was. But it was just very like, you know, God just told me no. And I was like, whoa, it's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, people hear from God all the time, but it was so melodramatic. And I always thought, wow. Afterwards, I was like, man, this lady's weird. And then I found out later on that she actually got removed from Chuck Craft's team because she was doing deliverance. Now, this is how crazy it is. She was doing deliverance, and she recognized that the person that she was praying for was really not that strong spiritually. So she transferred the demons to herself, and then she did the warfare, and then she kicked them out, right? And so Chuck said, see ya, and booted her out. I mean, just really crazy stuff. That's what I mean. Like, sometimes you can get so, you know what I mean, right? And it could bring a lot of misunderstanding if you're not grounded. And it's two things you need to be grounded in. And this is for anyone that's an intercessor praying. The first thing is you need to be grounded in God's word. You know, you need to make sure that everything you do, you don't have to have a proof text, but everything you do is really inspired and backs up. But the thing is, you don't ever want to violate God's word. That's really one of the keys. And so the second thing too is you need to be submitted to your leadership. Most likely, and this is what happens in a lot of places, and you know, if you study church splits, a lot of these splits are people that really heard from God about something. For instance, let's just throw something random. This really happened a few times in one of our case studies, that some people came to church and they believed that instead of taking the offering, passing the offering, they should put a box in the back of the church, for offering. And so these praying people would go to the pastor and say, Pastor, we really heard from the Lord, and we believe that we should put the offering box in the back. And if we do that, God will be very pleased with our ministry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the pastor says no, basically. And he doesn't get that leading. And so he doesn't put the offering basket in the back, you know, box in the back. And then these praying people are like, oh, our pastor does not hear from God. Our pastor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually they start talking, they start gossiping, and the church splits. This is primarily how it happens. It's people that is not necessarily have their own agenda, because it's not really their own agenda, but that really hear from God in a way, but they're really not submitted. They just want their way. And that's really the issue that goes alongside of this. And it happens in this way. And seemingly, here's these two ladies that are quarreling with each other for whatever reason. I was really trying to do this. I actually went to the commentaries and started reading this. And one of the commentators was mentioning that one of the ladies, maybe one of the struggles was, because as he's talking about Judaizers, one of the ladies was more of a Judaizer and the other one was more aligned to what Paul was saying. So there was conflict. I don't know what the conflict was, but we can recognize that these were two very mature women that Paul commends. They were Christians, because Paul says they're in the Book of Life, and they're very mature. They shared his struggle. They did spiritual warfare on his behalf. And so these are primarily probably prayer warriors, very mature women, but had a lot of conflict with one another. And so enough to Paul to say to them, hey, I urge Euodia, Syntyche, I urge you to live in harmony with the Lord. You know, it's a nice way of saying, just be nice to each other. You know, when you see each other, like, don't just pass by. Say hello. Be at peace with one another in this way. And there's something about that, because, you know, one thing you have to understand is that people on the front lines, people like these women, people like your pastors and whatnot, they're prone to a lot of spiritual attack. I mean, they're really prone to a lot of spiritual attack. I was really blessed last night. I went to a dinner last night, and Jack Hayford's in town, Dr. Hayford. And so my wife and I went to dinner, and there's probably about 15 of us there. And it's funny. Favor of God, I get invited to these events, but I always sit next to someone, and it's always like a real divine appointment. You know, and so last time I went to one of these events, I sat next to Pastor Ed, you know, from ICA, and now we became very good friends. And last night I sat next to a pastor named Peter Ho, and he pastors a church in Causeway Bay, a huge church, like 5,000 member church. And I've heard of the church. I actually went to their church one time. And so we're talking, and he said something to me that really really kind of stirred me up a little bit. And in our conversation, he said, you know, he was talking about, oh, you know, last time he was in the States, he went to go hear Ted Haggard speak. You know, Ted Haggard is the one that was part of the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, and he fell, you know, in homosexuality. And so, and then we started talking about finishing well and, you know, doing a good job as pastors. And then he said something to me. He says, yes. He goes, I tell my church members every single day to pray for me. You know, and because I asked him, says, well, so how do you keep, you know, finishing well? How do you go? I mean, how do you go about it? Do you have an accountability group? You know, do you meet with other people? And this all he says, I tell my church members every single day. I say, every single day, I tell them that you need to pray for me. You know, and because, you know, I'm on the front lines, I'm prone. And he just started sharing with me these things. I was a really great guy. We're actually having lunch in a few weeks to you know, build more relationship. But that really is like, yeah, you know. And I was thinking, man, when's the last time I asked the church to pray for me? You know, I was thinking, well, what am I thinking? You know, I mean, we're very prone to attack and very prone. I mean, these ladies here, people that are on the front lines, they're prone to the attack of the enemy. And so much more so. So I guess that's my way of saying, please pray for me every day, okay? And I'll invite Pastor Peter here to preach to you guys to say the same thing. But it's this idea, right? That they share with my soul. They're mature, but yet, you know, we know that mature people, spiritually mature people, they can get in squabbles, you know? And sometimes because they're no earthly good, you have to be grounded. You have to be. That's why I love Juanita. You know, I mean, obviously she's been praying for me for years, but she's a woman that's grounded. You know, it's a woman that understands authority, that understands submission, and it's just almost to the point where it's like a little too much. You know, I mean, in my personal estimation. I took her to actually our home church back in California when I was on break. And so she went, and then, you know, she goes and she prayed for a bunch of people. So now all these people want to relate with her. But she'll, like, email me. She'll call me up and say, oh, Pastor Sam, is it okay if I do this and this and this and this? I'm like, I don't care. I mean, do whatever you want. You know, but it's just this really deep understanding of submission. And she doesn't want to come out of my covering, and even though this deals with another church or whatnot, but she, you know, it's like this deep awareness of alignment, you know. And so I told her, I was like, yeah, if this and so, and if this pastor says okay, sure, go ahead and, you know, and minister here and there and do all these things. And I mean, it's quite amazing. There's this really keen sensitivity because she understands alignment, you know. She understands being grounded. I'm sure she's been around, and she told me some stories of people that are just way out there sometimes. You know, I mean, that sounds funny hearing from a pastor, right? But sometimes it's a little dangerous being too spiritual, right? Can I just say that? Sometimes it's a little dangerous being too spiritual. I think that we should be, but there should be balance there. Amen. Do you guys understand what I'm saying, right? So I'm not saying stop praying. I'm not. Just please continue to do so, but be grounded. Right? Be grounded in God's word and be grounded in alignment. In submission. And so this chapter really deals with these two ladies, and everything he does now is actually a reflection of that, which is part of a greater theme that he's talking about, which is joy. And so he tells them, so these are and notice he used the word comrade. These are battle terms, okay? They shared my story. They did spiritual warfare for the cause of the gospel. And then he tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Now he's referring to, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. He's telling these ladies, look, there's not enough time for you. Time is precious. God is near. Be generous with one another. You know the idea of your foreboding spirit? Be gracious with each other. Don't hold grudges. You know, don't hold your anger. And the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And so be forgiving, be generous. What a great statement. Let your foreboding spirit be known to all men. In other words, let people see how generous of character you are. Let people all around you, I mean, you know, be famous, be well known for your generosity of heart. Isn't that great? I mean, here's these two ladies fighting. Well, this is good advice, right? Let everyone around you, because they're leaders in the church, let everyone around you know how generous you are in your character. Let people know how forgiving you are, how gracious you're to receive insult. You know, I mean, how gracious. There was this very famous fight in England between George Whitefield and John Wesley. And I'm a huge fan of Wesley, so I read up on a lot of his stuff. And there was this huge fight between these two men. They were great friends, went to school together. They're part of the Oxford Club. They started what they call the Holy Clubs. Whitefield actually inspired Wesley to go out into the field. You know, they're both Anglicans. You go out into the field and preach. And Wesley at first was really didn't like that idea, but he eventually went and God began to move. And then, Whitefield went more the Calvinist route. And Wesley went more the Arminian route, even though, you know, they held to still Reformed theology, but he went a different route. And so there became a very public fight. And there was a certain news about Whitefield that he was sick or something to that effect. And the reporter asked Wesley, you know, you're going to say something? Or, you know, it's kind of like, here's your time to jab him or whatnot. And he said this, it's such a gracious, he says this phrase to an effect I do not dare come that close. Whitefield is so close to Jesus. He is close, so close to the Lord, I dare not even enter into his realm. I mean, I'll go back and I'll look up exactly. It was so beautiful the way that he said this thing. And even in the midst of a fight, a very public fight that they were having theologically, he was able to say, he is far too closer to the Lord than I can ever imagine. I'm not worthy, you know, to even think of himself in that same light as George Whitefield. And I was like, man, what a foreboding spirit, you know? What a generous of heart, generous of character Wesley was. And later on in their life, they actually patched up and things happened. But he says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. And this is the key. This should help us in our prayer life, every single one of us. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I taught on this many times. So if you've been around, you heard me say this again. It says that whatever is troubling you, whatever is making you anxious, he's saying pray. Pray. Everything. Prayer, supplication, make your request known to God. And this is the key. God doesn't say that he's going to answer your every prayer. He doesn't promise us that. What he promises us is peace that goes beyond comprehension. Now, if you take a couple steps back, let's say you're praying for a job, okay? Why do you want a job? Oh, because I want to work. Well, why do you want to work? Because I want to earn money. Why do you want to earn money? So I could buy stuff and so I could be happy. I mean, if you look at most of the requests that we have, the end result is so I can be happy, so I can be content. We pray for our kids. Why do we pray for our kids? Because we want them to be fulfilled. You know, we want them to have friends at school. We want them to be healthy. All these things. But why? Because we want them to have well-being. We want them to be happy. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus says that when you pray, do not be anxious for anything, but everything with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He may not grant you the specific item that you ask for, but he'll grant you the reason why you're asking. Do you understand what I'm saying? What we really want when we ask God to answer our prayers is we want peace. We want well-being. We want fulfillment in our life. Whatever it may be, he may not give us that exact item, but he gives us what we're really asking for with that item. asking for a job, asking for a girlfriend, asking to be married, you know, asking for a house, you know, asking for promotion. All those things relate to, at the end of the day, of I want to be happy, I want to be filled, fulfilled, I want to be blessed. I'm not saying that's selfish. It's not, because it's you know, we're God's children. It's part of that, you know, part of our life in the Lord, because He's blessed when we're blessed. And so, but when we, I mean, when you really break down prayer requests, you come to realization, yeah, actually, at the end of the day, I'm asking this because I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. I want abundant life. And God's, He may not give you the request, the stated item, but He'll always give you peace, which is really the background and the real reason why you're asking, You know, you don't want conflict. You want peace. And He says that He'll give you peace every single time. Every single time. Right? Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The word guard is the Greek word. The word, you know, it's not like when you think of someone, you're guarding someone, it's like one-on-one. The guard here, the word in Greek is actually means garrison. It's talking about a huge army of people, right? And so it's like, if you could imagine, God just doesn't send you one angel or something to guard you. He sends you an army to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's a garrison. It's a huge collection of people that cover you during this time. And that's what He always promises. That's why, I mean, honest to goodness, when you pray, and after you spend a time in prayer, no matter if you cried and, you know, and all these things happen, most, I mean, for me, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, most times, I feel really good. You know, I mean, I can't explain it. I may have come in very heavy. I may have come in worried about stuff. I mean, a few times I came in really heavy about certain things. And then as I pray, and really it's prayer is an exchange. As I give what's troubling me and I give it to the Lord, remember, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And if I can give all these things, and then God, it's an exchange, and then God gives me peace. And then I mean, the situation is still there, but I leave my prayer time light. I mean, I leave it peaceful. It's not, I don't leave with such a heavy heart in that way. That's God's gift to us when we pray. That's God's promise to us when we pray. The peace of God, which goes beyond our comprehension, will garrison our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So he's telling them this. And then, I mean, this chapter is so rich. And then he says, finally, brethren, and most likely speaking to these two ladies, look, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And so, telling these women and the whole church, look, Yudia, there's something very good about Syntek. Syntek, there's good stuff about Yudia. Let your mind dwell on those things. Don't focus on her negative aspects. Focus on her positive aspects. She loves God. She's your fellow comrade. You guys are working for the same God. You're doing the same thing. And this can really help. You know, the whole idea of rejoice. Remember we talked about, I'll explain today. It says rejoice in the Lord. You know how part of how we can do that? I mean, number one, God gives us peace when we pray. But the other part, too, is when we fix our minds on things above and not below, when we start looking at people and whatever situations and start seeing good in people, start seeing God in people, our attitude changes. You know, it's not a gift of God to see people's weaknesses and their failures. You know what I mean? Any idiot can do that. We heard this quote before. Any jackass can kick a barn down. It doesn't. You know, in fact, that's the devil's job. He's points out all our weaknesses, and so it's not really for us to do that. You know, the prophetic spirit, the spirit of Christ, is not necessary to point out people's weaknesses, but it's to look at God in them. You know, to see what God's doing in their life, to see redemptive value in that person. That's really the key. You know, I am so thankful that I had brothers and some leaders early on, before I became a Christian, that invested time in me. They didn't see some wild kid, you know, and trust me, I was very wild. I mean, they saw that, obviously, but they saw something else. They saw God, and they poured themselves into my life. I'm eternally grateful. That's the prophetic spirit. Right? Any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a skilled craftsman to build a house. And remember, Jesus is a carpenter. He's into building houses. And so, whatever situation you're in, focus yourself. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of good reputation, just simply let your mind dwell on those things. Focus yourself on those things. Ladies, there's good things about each other. I'm not talking about you ladies. I'm talking about these two ladies in the scriptures. There's good things about each other. Focus on those good things. Quit focusing on all the negative stuff. I mean, you could pray for the negative things, but focus on the good things, you know, that's going on with one another. When every once in a while, sometimes when I get into an argument with my wife, you know, and it happens like once a year, you know, I was just kidding. And so I get into an argument with my wife, and when that happens, I mean, many of us are married, you know that it's so easy to focus on all the negatives. And as soon as you get into an argument, all of a sudden your computer screen goes, and you think about like 100 things they did wrong, you know, like in the past, right? Last week, this, oh, and then this, and then, you know, and continue on and on. And that's our natural default mode. We sit there and we're like, oh yeah, man, last year she did this to me. You know, and I remember this one time, and we have this incredible memory to note all the bad things, all these things that happen, and things, and I have to actually force myself to stop and let your mind dwell and just I focus on the good things. Oh, but man, she's a good mom. You know, she's, you know, I mean, just continue on and on. I should know more than just one, right? It's my wife. She's not listening, so, right? She's beautiful. She's honest, you know. I mean, you know, we can, so many things that we can, but isn't that normal though? I mean, I'm speaking truth, right? We very so easily tend to focus on negatives when we're in a disagreement or a tiff. It just happens so naturally. And so Paul says, look, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is, let your mind dwell on those things. Don't dwell on this other stuff. Dwell on those things. That's how we can rejoice in the Lord. That's how we can actually overcome conflict that's happening here. And it says, in the things that you've learned, and this is verse 9, he closed, and this is, in my Bible, this is, he calls this apostolic advice. You have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Does he say, think about these things? Does he say, meditate on these things? Does he say, study these things? What does he say? Practice these things. In other words, do it. You know, don't let it be just a thought process or, you know, like, it's like pet peeve of mine, you know, like you're talking with someone and they're going through a situation and you're giving them advice, you know, I mean, like really solid, biblical, and their response is, oh, let me think about it. No, don't think about it. Do it. You know, you don't have to think about it. Trust me, it's good. It's scriptural. What your problem is, you're thinking too much about it. You better go and do it. And if you do it, that's the key. Peter will tell us later on, I think it's 1 Peter, says, practice these things. And he says, you'll never stumble. Practice these things and you'll never stumble. It's the same idea. Whatever you've seen, heard, learned, all these things that you're, do it. Don't just think about it. Don't meditate on it. You know, don't just study it. You go ahead and do it. Be doers of the word and not mere hearers. And he's saying, you ladies, do it now. Don't just, oh, yeah, thank you for good advice, Paul. You know, no, go ahead and do it, and that's how you'll be fulfilled. And the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, I'm going a little long. Let me finish this. And then he goes in this whole aspect of provision. So what? It's kind of interesting now that we look at a couple of books. Remember before he was criticized, you know, for not receiving funds from the church in Ephesians. And these guys come in, and now he's commending them, and he's telling them about this, and he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now that you at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. And so this was a very giving church, and I think they were one of the, I mean, he mentions later that they're the only church that actually supplied his needs. And so, you know, when you're in prison, in house arrest, like Paul is here, you're not allowed to work. So you can imagine he needs people to give to him to sustain his living in this place. Different than Ephesians while he was working, so he didn't really need funds in that context. But he says here, and this is a key for us, especially living in Hong Kong, not that I speak from want, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. This is a profound statement. I know how to get along with humble means, also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, he says, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, having abundance and suffering need. He says, I know the secret of this. You know what it is? It's verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's Christ. I know how to live in plenty. I know how to live in lack. I know how to grow hungry. I know how to live being filled. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I know we use this primarily in athletic events. Right, I mean, all the athletic people always, Philippians 4:19 everywhere. It's not really talking about athletics. It's really talking about resources. Christ. God is the one that's there. I can do anything through Christ that gives me strength. It's because of Christ I can live in every circumstance. Whatever circumstance comes my way, Jesus Christ will be there in the middle of it. And he will give me the strength to overcome whatever is going on in my life. That's good news. That's gospel right there. You know, he tells very significant truths, you know. You have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves know that you're the only church that shared with me. And then verse 17, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Let me just share something with you here, okay? If anyone offers you a gift, just humble yourself and receive, okay? Really, just humble yourself and receive. I know sometimes, oh, no, it's okay. It's like, no, just say yes. Simply just say yes. Because there's an operation that's at work here. You know, it's a reaping and sowing. If Ben, you know, let's say he wants to bless one of you guys and just goes out of his way, and just say, oh, thank you, Ben. You know why? Because then he gets a reward from the Lord. You can never outgive God. It's powerful. It happens. I shared this story with you before, right, about the Dallas seminary professor. And the seminary professor was teaching a class, and this very poor African student, you know, who's on scholarship there, I mean, just dirt poor, got a couple of kids, and he came and felt led by the Lord, and he gave the professor an envelope of money and said, you know, professor, doctor, I appreciate your teaching. I want you to take this money and go and have dinner with your wife. And the professor, you know, makes a lot more money than the student, you know, said, oh, no, I can't receive this. No, you know, surely there's no way. I should be giving you money. And the African guy said, you know, pastor, don't deny me, right, the opportunity to give to the Lord. And so the guy's all, okay. And so he had this $20, right, that this guy gave. I mean, probably more than, you know, he had. And this professor is sharing this story. And so he took his wife to McDonald's. And he said they were eating their Big Macs and just crying the whole time. They're, you know, because they were so touched by someone's generosity. And they were so touched by just that heart, you know. That heart to give and sacrifice no matter what. There's something that melts the soul in that way. And it really melted this professor. who was probably complaining about a salary, you know, complaining about all kinds of things. And just that move of generosity just moved in his heart. There's something about that. But see, the key is, and we think, oh, poor African dude. No, man. That guy's getting a rich reward from God, because you can never outgive God. And so whenever someone offers, just humble yourself. Right? You know, I know there's the, I don't know how it is in Chinese culture, but there's the Korean, the three no's, you know. So, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. And then by the third no, it's like, all right, forget it. You know, and then people fight for paying the check and whatnot. Just do yes first time. Forget the polite, oh, no, no, it's okay. Forget that stuff. Just bypass. Because that person is going to get a reward from God. That's what he says here. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. You know, I mean, look in this context. Maybe it sounds like a televangelist, right? You give to me, you're going to be blessed. You know, kind of thing. It's kind of like, oh. But there's a truth to this. You know, he says, no, I don't. It's not because I want this gift. It's because you're going to be blessed. It's true. You're going to be blessed as you give. I mean, there's a corollary there. Because my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Sorry, I went way too long. But I really like this passage. It's actually one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It gives us great insight for living. So, are you in a situation right now, relationally, or in some kind of troubling situation at work or whatnot, maybe with a boss or a colleague, girlfriend or boyfriend, friend, and there's some conflict going on? Number one, give it to the Lord. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So give it to the Lord, and then practice these things, and then fix your mind on good stuff. There's good things about that person. You know, a lot of people, like, we complain about our jobs. You know, I mean, I heard this a lot of times. Be thankful you have a job. Be thankful that you're earning a salary. You may not be earning as much as you think you should, but be thankful that you are. You're earning something. That's a blessing from God. There's always something to be thankful for. You may be sick. Thank God you're alive. Your left knee may be hurting. Thank God your right knee's not hurting. I mean, there's always something to be thankful for. There's always something that's true and worthy and lovely that you can focus on. And so today, let's just pick one thing. Okay, I know there's so many. Just pick one thing that may be troubling you, that may be making you anxious. And let's apply Paul's apostolic advice. Give it to the Lord in prayer. Lay it all there. And then focus on the good stuff.
I'm longing for.
Let's pray. Let's take that which God has put on your heart. Let's submit it to the Lord in prayer. Allow His peace to come. And then in whatever circumstance, let's begin to focus your mind and your attention on the positives, on good things. Let's pray to that end. And you watch how God changes us through this. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's continue to pray for our family and friends that are going through cancer, maybe going through chemo or need of a transplant. Let's also continue to remember to pray for Hige, his uncle, who passed away last week from his bout with cancer. Let's pray for their family, that God would continue to minister to them and throughout the whole funeral process. Let's pray. Let's pray for healing and salvation. Let's pray God's hand be with our parents and our aunts and uncles. Let's really pray for healing on many levels over these people. Let's pray for people that are going through different illnesses, and particularly if you look on the bottom, it says P. Colin, it's Pastor Colin. This is a friend of Jamie Donaldson's, who's a pastor that was attacked on a mission trip in Fiji, and he came out of his coma, and so praise God for that, but he's still they're still testing him to see what kind of brain injuries occur. Let's pray for a complete healing for this pastor, and there's other requests up there as well. Let's pray for others that are looking for work. Huh? Let's pray for God's hand to be with them, that they will use their time wisely, and God will just open doors and not just a job, but a future for each one. Let's pray. Let's go to our prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's ask God's hand to continue to be released upon this country. Let's pray for our friends that we met at the retreat, Pastor Mitsunobu and his family, their church in Kobe. Let's pray for God's favor with them. Pray for Thailand. Pray for Rachel, the Obergs, at Thai Care. Let's pray for North Korea. Very exciting things happening. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for Chris Kim and his family. Let's ask God that He would really begin to move in our lives in a powerful way. We're trying to plan a trip to North Korea in November as well. Let's pray for the team be assembled, and God would really use them powerfully in their harvest season. All right, so let's pray for these three countries. Pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for our kids, Noah's Ark, the nursery. Pray for Pastor Carol and all the teachers. You know, thank God that, you know, after the retreat, there are a bunch of people that wants to volunteer. Let's pray that they would really become very good teachers themselves. So let's pray for Pastor Nate and our thriving youth group. Pray for more teachers for their group, and also lift up the men's and women's ministries. They continue to help each other grow in the Lord. And so let's pray that God would continue to provide people, leaders, that would serve in these ministries, and that our kids and youth, they would just really receive from God. Let's pray. Let's pray for the Lauren Cunningham weekend. Let's pray God's hand will be upon Lauren as he shares exactly what our community needs to hear out of the abundance of his heart. Let's pray that we would really receive an impartation from this incredible man of God, and people would come, and something significant would happen in their lives. And bless his flights coming in, bless his real traveling mercies over him. Just cover the whole weekend before God. Let's pray for House Church's meeting tonight, Conduit Island, McRobinson Elements. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the gathering, that people will really be encouraged to be with each other, that there would be a real impartation and transformation that occurs as the people gather together in the Lord. Pray for the leaders for wisdom to gear the discussions, and their times of prayer that would be powerful, and the worship as well. Let's pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you so much, God. We thank you for Philippians chapter 4. So many insights into our life, God. Lord, continue to teach us to pray, Lord. Help us to, Lord, have confidence, Lord, in your ability, Lord, to give us peace whenever we lay down our agendas, our prayers at your feet. You're going to give us, God, exactly what we need. And we thank you, God, for your wisdom, God, your grace for us. Lord, help us, God. Help our mind to dwell on things above, God, and not things below. Not to be positive thinkers, God, Lord, but to see through your eyes, to be prophetic thinkers, Lord. We thank you, Father. Just watch over us this day, God. We give you glory in all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great time of prayer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.